So as the appellate lawyer, you clearly need to know this case for the reason the judge just said, which is you need to know that it limits the scope of a Rule 91 appeal in terms of what the Court of Appeals can reach. Because the trial court decided the standing issue, Court of Appeals could not reach the merits issue, which the court noted that doing so had them adjudicate elements or aspects of the claim prematurely. But maybe even more important, this is the case you're going to want to cite when you're talking about your standing requirements, because it says that we have adopted the federal requirements of standing as set forth in United States Supreme Court in the Lujan opinion. Now, it cites Heckman for that. If you go back and look at Heckman, Heckman actually talks about how, you know, the federal standard and the state standard will parallel each other, and our test does this similar to their test, that type of language. But here the court said that they have formally adopted the federal requirements for standing. So if you're going to have standing and you want to cite a federal court opinion for a similar case, this is the case you want to have in your appellate quiver to cite that. So let's talk about summary judgment. A unanimous decision by Justice Lehrman, Eagle Oil and Gas. Judge, what do we know about this case?
Right, so this case involved res judicata, waiver, statute of limitations, and attorney's fees issues in the context of two successive suits between the same parties, Eagle Oil and Troex. So they entered into an agreement jointly acquire oil and gas interests. The agreement provided that Eagle Oil would take the interests in its name, but hold them on behalf of the two parties acting jointly. Well, Troex first sued Eagle Oil for breach of contract and breach of fiduciary duty, alleging that Eagle Oil had sold some of those interests without giving Troex the opportunity to acquire its share of the interest and participate in the sale. And a jury agreed and awarded about $7.5 million. The Court of Appeals reversed, holding that Troex in fact did always hold equitable title to that interest pursuant to the party's agreement, which gave it the right to demand legal title and its share of the proceeds. And Eagle Oil had never deprived Troex of those rights. So Court of Appeals ordered that Troex take nothing. Troex then filed a motion for rehearing, asking the Court of Appeals to then go ahead and award it legal title, and not just equitable title, but legal title to the interest, or else at least remand for the trial court to do that. Well, the Court of Appeals denied the motion for rehearing, and we denied Troex's petition for review. And so Troex filed a new lawsuit seeking a declaratory judgment that it's entitled to receive the payments and benefits due based on legal title from the sale in light of its equitable title. Well, Eagle Oil filed a motion for summary judgment asserting res judicata and collateral estoppel and waiver and limitations. The trial court granted the motion for summary judgment and awarded attorney's fees to Eagle Oil under the Declaratory Judgments Act. We reversed, finding that Eagle Oil did not prove its defenses, and we went through each one of them and did not prove any of them as a matter of law. And so we reversed on the merits, and we also reversed and remanded the attorney's fees award, which the court had made an award to Eagle Oil under the Declaratory Judgments Act, explaining that that award may no longer be equitable and just in light of the fact that we had reversed the summary judgment. The Court of Appeals did that. Well, we affirmed in a unanimous opinion. We agreed with all of that by the Court of Appeals in a unanimous opinion by Justice Lehrman, agreeing that Eagle Oil did not establish a right to summary judgment on its defenses. And we agreed that the trial court should reconsider the attorney's fees award in light of the fact that we had reversed the summary judgment on the merits.
And that's why I pulled this case for you, that last point on the issue of remedy for attorney's fees in a DEC action, because essentially what happened in this case is there were four separate grounds for declaratory relief, and only one of those was reversed. And so the question was, well, if they still got declaratory relief, what about the attorney's fees? And both the Court of Appeals and then the Supreme Court adopted this approach, which is, you know, whether or not attorney's fees remain equitable and just in light of the unappealed rulings, that issue has to go back for the trial court to decide in the first instance. So if there is a reversal of any grounds, you should always ask for a remand for the attorney's fees to be reconsidered. Every once in a while it happens, let's talk about trial. The first case is this Catholic Diocese of El Paso versus Porter, which is a unanimous opinion authored by Chief Justice Heck. Justice Boyd, what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so this case arises from a tragic fire that occurred in a booth at a church carnival festival. The church raises money from this annual festival that it conducts every year, raises money in part by renting space for local organizations to come and operate various booths for the carnival. 4-H, the 4-H Association, 4-H Club, ran a booth selling funnel cakes and snow cones and things like that. And it was operated by 4-H members, including teenagers who were members of the 4-H Club, who volunteered their time to run the booth. Somehow the funnel cake fryer caught fire, and five of the 4-H volunteers who were working at the time were injured. So they sued the church and also the company that had filled the propane tank that they were using in the booth.